Nobody brings Philadelphia fans closer together than the Green Legion. From tailgates in South Philly to invading enemy territory, this group is the home to the true Philadelphia sports fan. Now their party hits the airwaves. Quimby, Michael Diaz, Chris Sack, Slash, and Super Sam Ross always keep the conversation going. So crack a beer, take a shot, and join the virtual tailgate now on Green Legion Radio.
All right, everybody, another episode of Green Legion Radio. I was about to say the Right on Cue Show, but I haven't said Green Legion Radio in quite some time. Everybody, Fox Sports The Gambler here in Philadelphia, 102.5 FM, WDAS 1480 throughout the rest of the Delaware Valley. Green Legion Radio is brought to you by our good friends at MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry for all your residential contracting needs. Contact them at 484-202-3656. That's 484-202-3656. My name's Quimby. I'm joined alongside the cast of characters, the usual suspects. Sackmaster, who's going to have to watch Goodfellas now in tribute to Ray Liotta. We're going to have that big conversation. Super Slash. Super Sam, shut up, Diaz. We're all here today, and should be an excellent show because basically Diaz's run sheet was my entire Right on Cue Show on Tuesday.
It definitely has that Diaz twist to it.
Just properly spelled, yeah, laid out correctly.
Yeah. I'm not Rob Valivas, man.
Speaking of Rob Valivas, Quimby, I can't believe you didn't start the show this way. 2 years ago, we lost a dear friend of Green Legion Radio and the Rob Valivas Show. 2 years ago today, I saw on my Facebook memories the Rob V Show in studio couch went to the great couch farm in the sky. It was immune to all types of diseases because it had every type of disease. So I miss you, Couch. We've never replaced you. You are irreplaceable. I hope you're doing well wherever you are.
I had the honor and the privilege of meeting the couch.
Maybe
Quimby's number one rule is do not touch that thing.
Maybe the couch is with Slash's old socks. It's about the same area. I'd also like to say I'm happy that Sam's here as the only female on the panel today. It's nice to see her in the kitchen.
I will murder you.
And the good news is iHeart just called and you're fine.
You're fine.
I will. I'm going to hurt you.
Hey, I'd like a grilled cheese with tomato, please.
You know who else is going to hurt him? The Me Too movement.
And the show is already off the rails, everyone. Good. Good to see. 106 p.m. Saturday, and the show is already off the rails. So, hey, everybody, hope you're enjoying listening to us on your ride down to the shore for the first week of seasonal renters, or not seasonal, weekly renters during the season. Going from Saturday to Saturday. So if you're stuck on the AC Expressway or the Garden State Parkway, just stick with us. We got a lot to talk about, you guys. Green Legion Radio, brought to you by our friends at Bud Light Seltzer, Michelob Ultra, Stateside Vodka, and Stateside Bourbon, Diaz, Dave Bavuso State Farm, Greater Philadelphia Health Action, MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry, Bucks County Baseball Company, the Ludlum Bar and Grill, and, of course, Premier Window Cleaning, WeHateDirtyWindows.com. WeHateDirtyWindows.com. Anywhere in the Philadelphia area, CHOP, the link, all our clients at Premier Windows. So make sure you check them out at WeHateDirtyWindows.com. All right, everybody, Fox Sports Philadelphia, let's get to it. We've got, obviously, we want to send a message. It's the first show that we've had since Matt Edgar passed, longtime friend, and I got my tears out on the show on Tuesday. Anytime Matt Edgar was in a sentence, something good was with it. That's what I will remember always.
We mentioned on Baseball Brunch, we talked about Matt at the beginning of our show, and we said that Matt Edgar, David Harris, and Alex Donahue, it's going to be one hell of a tailgate in the sky come this fall. I don't know who's running it. Because you're not there yet, Quimby, but it's going to be one hell of a show.
It's early. It's early.
He's working on it.
I'm working on it.
Jeez.
It's okay. It's all right. Yeah, well, all three of them are probably running it, actually. That's what's going on. So, Matt, Edgar, friends and family, Green Legion family, we miss you already, brother. We love you. Hope you're in a better place. I did go up and see Matt about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, about a week before he passed. And, I mean, you know, it was tough. Yeah, cancer sucks. Don't let anybody tell you differently. I don't think anybody will, but until you really see somebody suffering from it, it doesn't hit home until you see somebody suffering from it, and it's terrible. Anyway, let's get better. Well, not yet. We're also thoughts and prayers go out to the victims of the Texas school shooting. We're not going to be political at all on this show. This is a great line, Diaz. We don't pretend to have the answers, and that's not what you come to us for. So we're going to stick to what we do pretend to have the answers for. Sports and a little Star Wars talk at the end. I'm looking forward to the Star Wars conversation. I should be half lit by then. I got a half a bottle of rum still in the
room. I'll be signing off at that point.
You're important. You're a Gen Z. We need your opinions here from the youngins.
I'm not a Gen Z. Why?
Yeah, yes, he's like 15 years old.
Even if I'm 28, if I was 2 years old, I'd have the same opinion on Star Wars. I don't give a damn.
There we go.
All right, well, you could just leave now.
All right.
All right, good.
Philly sucks, Flyers suck.
All right, you can stay. All right, you can stay. That's okay.
All right, do we have anything positive, Q? Let's go.
What's the Family Guy? Knicks suck, Yankees suck, Mets suck.
Jets suck, yeah.
Love it. All right, yeah, let's get into the Eagles. Let's just jump right into it. We've been screwing around as it is. By the way, Jay Magnetti, Unhappy Gilmore, Keenan, Joe Finelli, Lou Mancini, all joining us in the room right now. Lonnie Zimmerman also in the room. We had a really good room on Tuesday. We were holding a good 20 people the whole time, and a lot of conversation. Russ Taylor, we're going to have to eventually hire Russ Taylor and Keenan Harmon for comic relief. Seriously, they're pouncing on every opportunity.
We could just rely on Chris Sack's tweet deck. That's great comedy right there. If you're on Twitter at SackAttack 112, full of hilarious things that are wrong about the sports he doesn't care for, and adorably optimistic tweets about the sports he does care for.
It's all good. It's only a matter of time before Joel Embiid's in Miami. But we'll address that later.
Yeah. By the way, excellent work by Kevin Kincaid calling out Howard Eskin again. Kincaid is absolutely the best, man.
He is. He's the best.
So let's get to it. You are listening to Fox Sports Radio in Philadelphia. It's Howie season, baby. We can talk Howie. James Bradbury. We can talk James Bradbury all day long. One of the things that I like about the signing, we were talking about this on Tuesday, and I'm going to let you guys fire away. I don't see this as a number two cornerback. You've got one and 1A now.
All right. Agreed.
And with Slay's a little over 20 pounds lighter than Bradbury, and he's got about 2 inches. Bradbury's got about 2 inches on him. Again, Sam would be the one that is the expert on that particular commentary, but that's a topic for another conversation. And we are a family-friendly show here, everybody. But so Bradbury's got a couple inches on Slay and a couple 10 pounds there, a couple decades of pounds.
Comparing in the locker room, I'm sure.
There it is, off the rails. Everybody jump on board. The fact is, he can guard your bigger receivers, and that is going to pay dividends big time when, you know, going up against a DK Metcalf or an AJ Brown type physical receiver. Now you have that body, and you know, you're putting Slay on the second receiver at that point. And then I'll shut up here for a second, let you guys roll. Fact is, you almost addressed your safety position by signing Bradbury, because gives these guys a little bit of flexibility. they don't have to be as as quick to the punch to get and help a cornerback that is underperforming. You might even see, hey, guess what? You might even see a safety blitz.
No, we haven't seen that since Dawkins in 2009 or whenever.
Anyway, gentlemen, your thoughts. Zach, you want to start it off?
Sure. Listen, you can't go wrong with this move. Between him and Slay, like you said, Bradbury could play on the bigger wide receivers. But between the two of them now, like if one of them's comfortable on one side of the field, you don't have to feel like that one has to go to the other side of the field. They can pretty much eliminate both sides on their own. And then you run into these teams that have really good wide receivers, not just one, but having two. You have that lockdown position there now. And you tend to forget, too, we still have Avante Maddox as a slot corner who played really well there last year. Good friend of the program, by the way. But here's another aspect of it, too. The Eagles claimed off of waivers Jimmy Moreland from the Texans, who was a slot cornerback. This might be an opportunity. Remember, in Avante's rookie year, he was really good as like a hybrid safety. You know how the Eagles in that system, they were playing that third safety, and Corey Graham kind of wasn't really good in that role anymore. They had Maddox there.
Didn't you also have Jenkins there?
Jenkins was more down in the box, but they had those two high safeties, and Jenkins played that role where he came up to the line. Corey Graham was that third safety that they had on the field. This might be an opportunity where Maddox might be able to go back there and play alongside Anthony Harris if they don't get another proven veteran to put back there with Harris. But this does mask that issue with the safeties as far as that's concerned. But they have options now, which is something you couldn't say about the Eagles defense for the last few years since we won the Super Bowl.
I was concerned with our good friend Dave Gettleman being fired by the Giants this past year that, oh, man, this new guy Joe Shane comes in from Buffalo or something like that. You know, and it's just like I don't want to deal with the Giants being good again. We got Devontae Smith from them. We screwed them out of a playoff pick. But thank you, Joe Shane, for waiting until after the draft and after free agency to release your Pro Bowl, prior Pro Bowl, fringe Pro Bowl cornerback, James Bradbury, where there was no market for him. We got him at an amazing price. And you know, this is what they say all the time when anyone signs, you know, here in Philly, I'm sure it's in every month. I got offers, you know, I got better offers other place, but I wanted to come here. Probably being in the NFC East has something to do with it, just a little bit. What the percentage is, who knows?
Hey, he's going to have a chip on his shoulder two games out of the year.
Well, yeah, but you know what? I don't want to get ahead. You know, Quimby's cardinal sin is getting ahead on the run sheet here. But I'm not saying this is 2017. I'm not saying it. I am not saying it. But there were some players that year that came in. Were like, well, how did we get this guy in like a secondary role? And they said, well, you know, I looked at the team and I looked at the defense and the coaches, and I wanted to be a part of this team. And he said all that stuff too, which a lot of times rings hollow, but man, this defense, it really is. Quimby, you love the ground and pound and the defense, and, you know, not saying that we don't, but I mean, yeah, okay, safety isn't a strong point. It's the weak point in the defense. But every team's got a weak spot, you know, it's someplace, offense and defense. And, man, they just did such a great job. Howie, kudos. Howie, you're in our good graces all over again.
Yeah, for now. No, seriously. And, I still think they want to give Kayvon Wallace a shot. He hasn't had a lot of playing time. He's also, if they stuck him out there with the secondary the last couple of years, he was going to, you know, he's going to be fed to the wolves.
He's a third rounder, isn't he?
Fourth. Yeah, he's
fourth rounder.
Was it third or fourth? Fourth. Out of Clemson. He's going to have an opportunity to compete for the starting job. And, you know, Marcus Epps, you still have him. He can improve. Diaz, I want to piggyback on top of what you were just talking about, because Adam and Sam and myself were talking about this on Tuesday. The more you break down the moves that he's made, we're going to get to the linebacker core here in just a second. But what are we going to, 20 or 25, Slash?
25.
25. Okay, so good. We got some time. The more I look at this this defense, the way it's shaping up, I think they're going all in this season. I really do. And well, hear me out for this particular reason. All right, it's Jalen Hurts or bust. All right. Fact is, you're not going to be able to go all in with a rookie quarterback next year if Jalen doesn't work out. That's where my head is. And I think Sam and Adam and myself agreed, all Hurts needs to do is improve from last year. Just get a little bit better. You know, you're talking about the Trent Dilfers of the world, that all you need is a serviceable quarterback, a running attack, and a nasty defense. And we have two of those three right now. Sack.
They've done everything to support Jalen on both the offensive side of the football and especially on the defensive side of the football now, to where they can take advantage of his strengths. And if he gets better with his accuracy issues that he had last year, and he doesn't have as much of an issue throwing the ball down the field as he had last year, because let's face it, the Eagles got better when they took the ball out of his hands and they put him in the running back's hands behind the offensive line. But I've said this for a while now, Quimby, it's not just about giving him the opportunity this year, which will be his second year as a full-time starter. Like, this making this organization again a top flight organization like it previously was, and bringing in top end talent, is going to only make this organization, this team, look that much better. Sex appeal. It's all about sex appeal, because if he's not the guy, you're talking about a rookie quarterback next year. Why? You're going to have two first round picks. You're going to have a second, and the following year you have a first and 2 seconds. You could trade those away. And if Kyler Murray wants to get out of Arizona, or another veteran wants to get out of his current situation someplace else, you have the draft capital, and it also is appealing to that veteran quarterback to want to come and play here. So you're not hitting the reset button with a rookie quarterback.
Well, Diaz, give me your time here in just a second. Be careful what you're saying here. You got five defensive starters that are all on one-year deals. All right? You got Barnett, Cox, Hargrave, Kaiser, and Bradbury.
But they might be on 1 year deals, but you still have Reddick is still gonna be around. Jordan Davis is gonna be a cornerstone, hopefully, on this franchise. N'Kobe Dean. Darius Slay is gonna be here for a few more years.
All right, hold on. All right. I get it. Diaz, get in there.
Well, this is what I wanted to ask, because we kind of saw it last year and we were outraged by mid October. Is, you know, and I think it's been laid to rest. You have to pass the ball to win in the NFL. You have to be able to run it too, but it's a passing league. And when Sirianni came in, you know, Atlanta, the first game was great. And then the next four games or so, you know, this pass happy, and it was wacky. It was like 60 passes and 7 runs, which is obviously is not the way that we want to do it. But we'll be able to accept them going starting it, the weakest part of their schedules, like Sack said a couple weeks ago, is the beginning part of the schedule. Are we going to be okay watching them try and move into more, you know, a more passing offense? We talked about this on our show at the at Citizens Bank Park for the Beer Fest. How many targets do we think Devontae Smith should get a game? Somewhere between 7 and 10. AJ Brown needs 8 to 12 a game. I mean, we're talking 20, 23 targets, just those two players.
Dallas Goedert.
Give Dallas Goedert 6. We're at the 28. That's just three players, maybe one or two for Quez Watkins. Who knows, out of the back. This team's going to have to throw the ball 35 times a game. I don't want them to lose. I don't want them to sacrifice any wins. But that might make that running game, first off, more effective when they turn it on. But it might not be the heart and soul of the game of the team. Jalen Hurts is going to have to read the field, and he's going to have a star wide receiver on one side of the field and a star wide receiver on the other side. And he's going to be able to have to scan the whole thing. None of this, you know, numbers out like he did last year.
I like everything. You guys want to hop on linebacker? Why don't you guys talk linebacker first? I'll just sit back and listen. I need to get a fresh beer anyway.
Well, I was about to say, you're the expert here on linebackers. We want to know from you.
Yeah. You could get your beer later, man. I mean, this is your linebacker, Quimby.
I get it. I get it. All right. Everybody, Fox Sports Radio, Philadelphia. Here we go. Getting drilled. Slash, let's take a break right now. What do you say?
Yeah, that works. We'll come back with linebackers.
We'll come back with linebackers.
Gather your thoughts. Yeah. Yeah, this
don't
is
worry.
What
my thoughts have been gathered for a while, Diaz. Don't worry.
We this is something we actually want to hear from you.
LeGarrette Blount.
Hey, everybody, Green Legion Radio here on Fox Sports Radio in Philadelphia. I'm broadcasting from Barcelo Bavaro Beach Resort in Punta Cana. That's why the sound is not as is not studio quality today. And there is no hurricane behind me. It's just trade winds. But you guys, we're brought to you by MCS Residential, MCS Custom Cabinetry for all your residential contracting needs. MCSinc-PA.com. That's MCSinc-PA.com. We come back in. Sack's going to have a live read for us. So we'll be back right after that. Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports, The Gambler, Philadelphia. Brought to you by our friends at MCS Residential, MCS Custom Cabinetry. For all your residential contracting needs, check them out, MCSinc-PA.com. My name's Quimby. I'm joined alongside Sackmaster / Super Sam and Shut Up Diaz. Sack, you got to read?
Absolutely. Premier Window Cleaning is the leading window cleaning company in Philadelphia and the surrounding areas. Over 30 years experience, they offer commercial and residential window cleaning, pressure washing, parking garage cleaning, graffiti removal, post-construction cleaning. Every employee is trained and certified and goes through an extensive background check. At Premier Window Cleaning, your satisfaction level needs to be 100%, as no job is complete until you're happy. With clients like Lincoln Financial Field, Comcast, Chop Roberts, and University of Pennsylvania, you cannot go wrong. For more information and a full list of services, give them a call at 267-534-5198. That's 267-534-5198. Or head to their website, www.wehatedirtywindows.com. That's www.wehatedirtywindows.com. Back to you.
Hey, thank you, in studio. Yeah.
So, back to the Barcelo, where Quimby is going to get us a hot paddleboarder and her mom here in the second segment.
Paddleboarder, what are your thoughts on the Eagles linebackers this season?
Hey, we do a U.S.-based football-focused show. What can this international paddleboarder tell us about NFL refereeing in 2022 and the excessive use of replay?
Absolutely nothing, but she can tell you where my tan line stops.
Her or her mom?
Yeah, yeah. Whichever one is ready.
Hold on. Yes.
We've got two former professional football players with us today. But let's talk paddleboarding.
Absolutely. All right, off the rails here on Fox Sports Radio, Philadelphia. You guys are having a good time. Let's talk linebackers.
This is your segment, Quimby. Your segment.
Give me the ball, Danny. Give me the ball.
Hassan Reddick is technically a linebacker, but we know he's going to be mostly edge rushing. But he's going to play that same position that Kennard Avery played. So you know he'll drop back. It's a bit of a hybrid. But you've got Kaiser White, who had 168 tackles last year on a 1-year mercenary contract. And you got TJ Edwards that now doesn't have to run the show himself. He's going to be your starting linebacker. We've liked TJ Edwards, friend of the program, 2 years now. And in all fairness, this is kind of a situation like your safeties, where you have two dominant cornerbacks. And now you free up your safeties to get to learn a position a little bit or free them up to not have to have so many responsibilities or challenges on their shoulder. The part that I like the most is the depth chart here. You got Damion Taylor, which they are still pretty high on. I don't think the guy can stay healthy, so we'll see. He's got to come into his own there. You got Nakobe Dean. All right, look. TJ Edwards, you're on the clock. We're going to find out about you real quick because I guarantee I think you're rolling in this season with the starting role, but you might have 4 or 5 weeks if you're not.
There's finally competition there.
When have we said that? And if for some reason something goes down, you got a serviceable backup at that middle linebacker position in Sean Bradley, another friend of the program. We're talking about
depth. True depth.
Yes, and it's crazy. You are a little weak at the Sam linebacker position as far as depth goes, because I think on the depth chart right now they have Kyron Johnson as your backup Sam linebacker, but I'm sure that, you know, they're a little bit interchangeable, and just having that much depth. Your linebacker core, if they stay healthy, has now become a strength of this team. And, you know, again, exactly what you said, Diaz. Kudos to Howie for filling all these holes.
Nah, man, like when I was looking at, like when we were at the craft beer festival and we had, you know, Dave and Irving with us, I asked Spuds about that. Because, like, when you have this many linebackers and this many defensive linemen now, Gannon can do whatever he feels necessary to do with them. They're interchangeable parts, and he can run a 3-4, a 4-3 hybrid anytime. Just give the quarterback different looks. It's I'm telling you, man, like the depth that they have between both of those positions, he can do whatever he wants now. He has all the toys, all the keys, except for the safety position on defense. He can do whatever he wants to do. Like you said, safety blitz, linebacker blitz. If he wants to put two linebackers on the edge, outside linebackers, and put Jordan Davis in the, you know, in that defensive nose tackle position with two guys on the inside, he can do whatever he wants to do. It's crazy madness what Jonathan Gannon is going to have. He just needs to be able to press the right buttons, Diaz.
I think if we want to talk about Sam linebackers and you know, filling holes with true depth, Super Sam Brady, that seems like it's right up your neck of the woods here. How do you feel about filling holes with true depth at the Sam linebacker?
I'm going to opt out of commenting on this due to the fact that I will say something that I will definitely.
I'm going to be getting an email from Jeff Moore this week. Thanks.
So I'm going to say nothing right now.
Oh, okay. It's your neck of the woods. So, but you know what? When we are talking about depth, though, it's listen. Alex Singleton, friend of the program, going to follow his career in Denver. His best suited was special teams and as a backup linebacker, and we had him as a starter, and you know. Yeah, love him and everything. He's just not for that position. I mean, you know, if N'Kobe Dean gets a lot of snaps this year, that's a good thing. I mean, as long as no one else got hurt, that means he proved that he's better than these other guys. I mean, Kaiser White had a great year last year. I can't believe we got him for the deal we got him. You know, TJ Edwards, yeah, I mean, he's a starting linebacker. Is he the best one on the team? It's just great to be able to say whoever is that starter, let's say midseason on, barring injury, they deserve that. They beat out some other quality players as opposed to saying, what do we got here? What do we got to use? So, you know, it's Super Sam Brady at an Arizona trip as opposed to a Detroit trip. You know, you're not like just taking what you can get. It's Arizona. You're by the pool. You know, you're looking good. You're glistening. And, you know, you can choose out of some quality opportunities.
Not to mention the competition, too. Just to go off of what you're saying, Diaz, is, you know, everybody, I feel like maybe they didn't, but maybe they got complacent like Alex Singleton, TJ Edwards. I'm sure they didn't, but in case they did, now they got to be on their toes because you have that depth and you have these young guys like Davion Taylor and Sean Bradley, and they can learn from people like Hassan Reddick to get better. They got to be hungry for it or else they're going to be out on the curb.
On a serious note, though, what's great about this? They really didn't spend a whole lot of resources. Like they didn't go like, well, you know, this linebacker thing, we've had enough. We are going to go, you know,
Kaiser White.
Yeah, I mean, what's his deal? $3 million, $2.5 million, something like that.
It's Bobby Wagner, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, and you know, N'Kobe Dean, who was a, you know, who we'll see how he is, but a third rounder.
I mean, N'Kobe Dean's making $850,000 this year.
What is that compared to Von Miller?
What's that?
What is that contract compared to Von Miller? Von Miller, six years, 95 trillion.
Right. So, I mean, it's not like, oh, wow, Howie finally, you know, stepped up with the checks and, you know, signed some. He got some great talent at some, you know, places that they normally go for linebackers. And, Sam, I have living proof that I know what I'm doing in that arena.
Literally.
Don't you love it how we told Diaz to keep the mic 12 inches away,
and he still doesn't get it.
He's still on top of it, like it looks you're getting lucky in the car.
It looks like he wants the mic to fill his hole.
Crosby, Russ Taylor. Diaz has fired his shots. Living proof once again.
All right. The Eagles have two of the top 31 receivers in the NFL. Number 10 in A.J. Brown. Number 31 in A.J. Smith.
Devontae Smith, but that's okay. Yeah, I saw this on Pro Football Focus or, you know, a tweet. Has that ever happened? You know, there's 32 teams in the NFL. There's generally two starting receivers, except sometimes three. You know, we're talking two of the top 31. I mean, and we say 31.
Has that ever happened?
Because Devontae Smith was 31. I mean, two of the top 31 receivers.
Yeah, Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne.
No, I'm saying for the Eagles.
Yo and Jerry Rice.
I'm talking about the Eagles. I'm talking about the Eagles.
I'm about to smack the hell out of you.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Well, elaborate. Elaborate. Maybe
not
I mean, come on, T.O. and Todd Pinkston?
No, I'll start with that. I'll add on and just say I think Pro Football Focus had a tweet as well that they had A.J. Brown ranked as the third best wide receiver under the age of 25. And Devontae Smith is what? 21? Oh, my God. They are built for success moving forward. We haven't seen anything like this.
Built for comfort and built for speed.
Yes.
And that's true. I was just going to say that, Zach. They both catch anything that you throw to them, but they're so different.
Stop jumping into the mic.
I'm
going like this. Yeah. Sam, look, Sam's the expert on it. She knows.
I'll adjust my chair afterwards. It keeps bouncing me because, you know, my core strength is so hard. I'm like bouncing back and forth on my chair. I'm so ripped. I have a shirt on here just so Sam doesn't get crazy. She's making her rounds through the Green Legion.
And we can still mute Diaz whenever we want. See, there we go. Oh, God.
No, but what I'm saying though is they are so different. And it's just going to be, I mean, how many more catches this year is Devontae Smith going to make with A.J. Brown on the other side? And A.J. Brown's just going to maul through the NFC East. I can't wait.
But depends on who's throwing him the ball.
That's exactly. Slash just hit the nail on the head. Is it going to be a better visioned Jalen Hurts or the one we saw last year? Because Devontae Smith was open a lot.
And Quez Watkins too, yeah. I mean,
I thought arm strength was Jalen Hurts' biggest issue, but it could be vision down the field. I don't know what you do to work on that at this stage of the game. You know, maybe slow it down or just try to slow the game down a little bit more and get used to the speed of the NFL. You know, they don't have that in college. Obviously, they say the biggest difference between college and pro is the speed of the game, and you have to be able to make decisions and good decisions quicker. But, you know, you want to think that Devontae's going to see the ball more. We got to, you know, it's just going to be interesting to see if we actually come out with a balanced offensive attack this year. You know, beginning of the season last year, straight up throwing the ball the whole time. End of the year, straight up running the ball the whole time. And it's funny because I never said that I wanted a run dominant team. I just want one that's balanced, and I want a team that can run the ball when they need 2 yards, and not worry about it, not even think about it. Get out there, do it. All right. So, go ahead.
Well, here's a thought too, because you say when you need 2 yards. The play that we all hate that Quimby, you know, Sack and Slash are just so much younger. They weren't around as long as we were. But that stupid 2 yard out to Todd Pinkston that we had to live with, that the Eagles have never got rid of their playbook now. If you have A.J. Brown out there, they're going to have three defensive, either a linebacker and a corner or like two corners and a safety, because he'll get those 2 yards. I mean, they're trying to hold him to less than 5 yards on that play. That's a play. I can't wait to see them try that with A.J. Brown and see him maul guys. That dude looks like a freaking Decepticon out there. He's huge. His shoulders are big. You're thinking like this. He looks like Micah Parsons, but he catches everything as fast as hell. I'm so excited about A.J. Brown. Can't wait. Can't wait.
There's only one wide receiver in the NFL that's more physical than he is. That's Debo. Like you can say what you want about Metcalf. He has the measurables and everything. But A.J. Brown and Debo Samuel, they want the ball, and they will run around you. You can throw it over top, two of them. But really, they want to get physical. They have no qualms about running through you if they need to.
Speaking of getting physical and running right through you, Sam, what do you think about the dichotomy between A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith as the Eagles wide receivers this year?
I am seriously no longer speaking to you.
You're speaking to me right now.
We're done.
Hey, Sam, remember, you set up every show. You're the one that can mute them, too.
That's true.
Q, you know, we got one more minute here. But I do.
One more minute? That's plenty of time for Diaz.
He doesn't even need a minute.
I just wanted to throw in, too, with the Jalen Hurts having to prove himself, because you can have the best receivers in the world, but it depends on who's throwing to him. Everybody makes fun of the Tua getting Tyreek Hill situation, and I get it. Tyreek Hill's the fastest wide receiver in the NFL, but I almost see that similar comparison with Jalen Hurts because he has not proven his arm strength to me. So the receivers are only going to be as good as their quarterback is. So if he can do whatever he can to improve his accuracy and arm strength, I'll be happy to see it.
Hey, Diaz, I didn't know Abby was in the room. The Beaver swag. She's saying the 60 seconds is a long time.
Hilarious. Hilarious. Here we go.
No, everybody shut up. Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports, The Gambler, Philadelphia, brought to you by our friends at MCS Residential, MCS Custom Cabinetry, 484-202-3656, 484-202-3656. Everybody, we'll be back right after this. All right, everybody, Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports, The Gambler in Philadelphia. Yeah, I'm Quimby, joined alongside Sackmaster / Super Sam Diaz. Sack, get it.
Yeah, we were just talking during the break. We were talking about our good friends over at the Ludlum Bar and Grill. And you want to check them out at 4000 Landis Avenue in Seattle City. Yes, the old La Costa with the complete renovation finished. You will now see a brand new look, feel, and vibe set amongst a casually sophisticated bar, a cozy a la carte dining room, and the only mellow lounge in Townsend Inlet. The menu is seasonal, offering the freshest local seafood, cooked simple to ensure the flavor that already exists stays that way. The hotel is open year-round, and all guests enjoy free Wi-Fi, one free parking spot per room, and complimentary boots tags for all registered adults. Walking distance to everything. Check out www.ludlamhotel.com. That's www.ludlamhotel.com, or call them at 609-263-7829. That's 609-263-7829 for all your reservation, dining, or entertainment questions. The Ludlum Hotel, the Ludlum Bar and Grill, your new oasis in Seattle City.
There we go. And good friends of the program, too. Chris and Amy are excellent people, longtime friends. Short House with Amy in 1997.
Yikes.
How about that?
Yeah. She's not that old. On our New Orleans playoff in the 2018.
She pisses me off, dude. She's in her mid to late 40s now, and she still looks amazing.
She's wonderful. I unfortunately, on our 2019 January New Orleans playoff invasion, I somehow dropped a drink glass at a bar we were at.
Shocker.
And we all had to leave. But, you know, otherwise, we have a great time. She's great. Chris is it's fun watching Chris's business grow in Seattle, man. He's dominating that island.
Started with the liquor store. Now here we go.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. Vegas.
Vegas,
increase
baby.
Increase the over under on the Philadelphia Eagles from 8.5 to 9.5.
Still too low. It's still too low. We talk about this every week, and I don't understand how they won 9 games last year playing the AFC West, which has only gotten better, but we've got the AFC South, the NFC North. I just don't understand. I mean, I'm not screaming here, Super Bowl, baby, Super Bowl, you know, Super Bowl or bust. I just don't see how they don't win 10 games without a massive injury problem this year. I don't, you know, knock on wood, but go through the schedule. We do this all the time. Stuff's got to go really, really wrong. I mean, they've got a great offensive line, a great defensive line. They got a great wide receivers. The whole offense is stacked, except for maybe the quarterback. But he's still, like, worst case, league average. I mean, we're hoping he can get to, like, between a top 10 QB, maybe. I just don't understand the defense. We just talked for the first two segments of the show. How do they not win 10 games? You know, I don't know how they advance in the playoffs and how everything works out on the standings, but man, just how do they not win 10 games easy? Sack, tell me how I could possibly be wrong about that.
Well, listen, first things first, the schedule itself, I know it looks easy, but remember, teams do get better during the course of all seasons. We're looking at the schedule based off of what we know what the teams were last year. So you're thinking that some of these teams are all going to stay the same. That's not how it works in the NFL.
That's true. Yeah, that's
plus, in the schedule, they have four shortened weeks. With all these primetime games that they have, they're working off of four weeks where they don't have full weeks worth of preparation. You're sitting there, you're going, how can this team not make the jump? Vegas is smart, okay? So you're looking at how can they not get to 10? For me, I'm right at 10. I could probably talk myself into 11, but 9.5 is right where they probably should be. And remember, the Eagles last year, and we can't say this over the course of many years of Eagles football, but they had the benefit of not having to deal with a ton of injuries last season. That is going to be hard to accomplish and hard to achieve 2 years in a row. Slash.
Wait.
Yeah, I'm going to my Twitter. Why does Sack hate the Eagles?
I don't hate the Eagles. I'm wearing my Eagles hat. It's I trendy. Love the Eagles. I'm just saying.
You said this team didn't get riddled with injury. Two of our best trench players went down for the season in week two.
What, you talking about Brandon Graham?
And?
Their offensive line stayed relatively healthy Brandon last Brooks. Year.
Brandon Brooks?
No, but they didn't need him last year. They were prepared, and he wound up retiring anyway. Relatively, they were healthy as compared to previous years.
Guy that tore his Achilles.
Let me stay on the injury front here and just say, look at who they played late in the season with Washington and the Giants. They played Jake Fromm and Garrett Gilbert, and they played horribly. So horribly they were losing after the first quarter in both
Zach
those games,
Wilson?
I believe. Yeah. And I'm telling you right now, as much as you hate Carson Wentz and we bash him, if he was playing instead of Garrett Gilbert, I'm not sure the Eagles win a game like that. The Giants,
Teddy Two Gloves?
Jake Fromm, Daniel Jones, give or take, who knows? But they could easily have been an 8-9 team last year.
I see
on that game alone in Washington.
I forgot Chris Sack's favorite quarterback of all time, Carson Wentz, is going to lead the Washington Commodes to Super Bowl glory in 2022-2023. I forgot. That makes a lot of sense.
That banner, don't forget, that banner that's in the link has a lot to do with what he did that season, so you can kiss my ass, Diaz.
Oh, my God. Which is Sack's, like, worst, go-to moves? The overtime goal scored in the Stanley Cup Finals in 2010 by Claude Giroux, or Carson Wentz helping them to an 11-2 or 13-2 record getting hurt in
2017? How about my best ones, where Joel Embiid has never been to an Eastern Conference Final or even been in an NBA Final?
I'll rest to this and just say the worst move Sack ever made was buying a Florida Panthers Claude Giroux jersey.
That's terrible.
That was trolling purposes.
The minute he bought it, they got swept in the second round. So we can just blame that on there.
I bought that. They were the hottest team in hockey.
Jeez.
Front runner.
No. I'm wearing that next week.
I'm just looking at all the scattered ass walking up and down this.
I could tell you weren't trying to jump in and tell us why you think that the Eagles are over 9.5 wins. Where's your money at? Because I'll tell you what, listen, that's not even the best number in this division. You want to make money this year? 7 is the over-under for the Giants. There is no chance on God's green earth that team is going to win 8 games. And at worst, they get to 7 and you push. There's no shot ever in the world that they're winning 8 games and you're losing money.
Hey, Quimby, this is actually very timely. It's pretty funny you just said that, Quimby, because after we won the 1997 IFA Cup with my ping pong performance, saw the band at the house. The band's name? Scattered Ass. That's the name of the band was Scattered Ass.
The only time you had Scattered Ass was at the Fiona Apple concert, Diaz.
No, that was Shattered Ass. That was Shattered.
Off the rails, everybody. On your way down to the shore. I get it. Off the rails. In case you guys needed some material for jokes for the week.
Oh, goodness.
We are Fox Sports Radio in Philadelphia. This is the Green Legion radio show, and I have not heard it like this ever. Somebody's on fire.
Are we sticking with NFL on the other side? Because we got 2 minutes left here in the hour.
No, we still have NFL. Yeah, so true or false, real quick. Let's not spend a lot of time on it because we do have to go to break in 2 minutes. Jalen Hurts needs to win at least one playoff game for the Eagles to stick with him beyond 2022.
False.
I'm going to go true.
So that you're saying they're making it to the playoffs, then true.
I'm saying true. I don't think if they've given him all the tools, if they don't win, of course, if he's hurt or something, the entire line gets food poisoning the night before a road playoff game or something like that. But if he doesn't win a playoff game, I think they feel they've got a playoff contending, Super Bowl contending roster. And if he can't do it, it's going to come down to that. We just spent an hour talking about it.
If you play the Rams in the first round and you lose 35-31 and he has four touchdowns thrown, you got to look at it from that angle. That situation.
If you're playing the Rams in the first round, you're probably
you
a wild card team and you didn't win the division. He's going to be gone anyway. So, all right. Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports, The Gambler in Philadelphia. My name is Quimby. Join along Sackmaster / Super Sam and Shut Up Diaz. Brought to you by our friends at MCS Residential, MCS Custom Cabinetry. Check them out at mcsinc-pa.com. That's mcsinc-pa.com. We'll be back on Fox Sports Radio right after this. All right, everybody, back on Green Legion Radio here on Fox Sports Radio in Philadelphia. Listening to us on your drive down to the shore, first weekly renters for the summer season going Saturday to Saturday. I never understood why islands didn't kind of switch that around, like Friday to Friday, Saturday to Saturday, Sunday to Sunday. Why don't you switch it up so that not everybody's going Saturday to Saturday and all flying down there on the same freaking road at the same time? I don't know. Just call me an analytic. But aside that,
we will never say that.
Aside that, fact, and I'm gonna tell you this right now before we go any further. I think that this Eagles team this year, if Jalen Hurts can improve, not significantly, just improve, and we stay somewhat healthy, all right, majority healthy. Somebody's going to go down. We all know that. We don't know who. Somebody's going to have to step up. All right. But if the planets align, and I'm not talking about the ball bouncing the right way, I'm talking about Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts has to improve in his game, and we have to stay relatively healthy. And if that happens, we're in the NFC Championship.
You know who else steps up? State Farm.
Yes, and, the good people at State Farm want what Quimby is drinking. Just as your local State Farm agent combines good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates, you can combine your home and auto, and guess what you'll get? That's right. Good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates. In fact, State Farm agent Dave Abuso is your go-to agent for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining home and auto today. So, State Farm agent Dave Abuso will help you mix and match things perfectly. Call 856-740-5012 for your surprisingly great rates. That's 856-740-5012. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. All right, anybody want to jump on my NFC Championship prediction?
Yeah, you're insane. You're ludicrous.
Coming from the same guy who thinks Claude Giroux is a hero.
Yeah, yeah. Claude Giroux is a Hall of Famer. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Maybe.
He is a hero.
Excellent. Excellent complimentary player. Excellent.
Now, listen, Quimby, I want to share in your optimism.
Have you ever heard me being this optimistic about this team?
I've never heard you be optimistic about many things in life, except for a scattered ass. But, I was looking at it like this. We were talking about during the break with Diaz, and Diaz – like he was getting on me about, you know, how why don't you like the Eagles? He tweeted it out on Twitter. Why does Sack Attack 112 not like
just the Eagles? Asking the questions. Listen, just asking the questions.
I love the Eagles. I love the Birds, but I'm cautiously optimistic. I was ready to jump all in 2017 after they won a big game on Thursday Night Football against the Carolina Panthers in week 5. That right there sold me on that team taking the next step. I need to see this team actually beat a winning football team next season before I can sit here and go, they're ready to make NFC championship level type moves, because they didn't beat one team last year, one team that wound up having a winning record. It was great. 9-8. We made the playoffs. We got throttled in every single game where we went up against a big opponent. Now, is that rookie head coach, second year, first time starting quarterback problem? Probably, maybe that's what that was. But I need to see big time movements from a head coach to know that he's going to be able to go up against the likes of Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay before I can sit here and say NFC championship game. It doesn't read that way for me yet. Divisional round, potentially. Getting into playoffs, certainly. They're going to win the division. Dallas has taken a step back. They're not as good as they are. They're older. They're falling by the way. They have too much money
I could Sheldon that statement. They're not as good as they are. I could Sheldon that statement all day long.
But remember, no team, no team has won the NFC East back-to-back since the Eagles did it back in 04. The last time it has happened. So to know that Dallas is going to take a step back is a certainty. But the Eagles need to take a step forward with Jalen Hurts.
That's your concrete evidence. That's the foundation for this argument. The fact that nobody's won back-to-back NFC East titles. Dallas is they're stepping back because they didn't resign. They didn't. They cut him.
Randy Gregory. Yeah.
All right. They're just. They're not as good of a team.
Right.
We'll talk Star Wars in a minute. Zeke. Zeke is definitely not the player he used to be.
No.
Pollard's good.
Are you going to call him the Ewok?
Yeah, I was trying to get the Ewok out.
Ewok, there you go.
Yeah, I've had a couple already.
But no more Amari Cooper, and you still have Mike McCarthy coaching.
I've been on a straight-up bender for 4 days, guys.
Well, but listen, I'm looking at odds right here.
Everybody, enjoy the Green Legion radio show.
I'm looking at odds right here, and NFC Championship winner, so this doesn't mean they make the game or anything, but the Eagles have the sixth best odds at plus 1,400. That's a 7% chance that they win the NFC East. There is no NFC East Championship game, but the teams ahead of the Bucks, the Packers, the Rams, the Niners, and then the Cowboys, and if we all agree that the Cowboys are going to take a step back,
where does anybody get off saying Green Bay is going to be that good again?
I know. Who's he throwing the ball to?
Yeah. Thank you.
But so to say, like, Quimby, NFC Championship game, to expect that would be ludicrous. To say, is there a 7% chance that they win that? If there's a 7% chance, it's got to be I'm making this up, 12% chance. Probably they won't make it. But it's not like last year where there was no chance. Or like the Phillies making the World Series this year. There's no chance. Or the Flyers for the next decade. I'd say 5 years.
Or the Sixers getting out of the second round.
But it's a non-zero chance. So what I'm saying is from last year to this year, the offseason moves and what we saw last year, it's the opportunity. You know, they talk about this window and you want to maximize the window they have. I don't know if there's a window, but I know it's not locked shut. And going into a season, I mean, the whole point of being a fan here, you want to win championships. We judge everything by championships, but I want to have a hell of a good time trying. We got a great schedule this year. I mean, Sack is making fun of me because I'm jumping feet in with my duckies and flippies into the Super Bowl.
Fun of me stuttering.
No, okay. No, man, I am chilling at the bottom of the pool. I've been in the pool here the last three weeks after Howie's season. I'm at the bottom of the pool. I'm fully in. It's going to be a great year. I cannot wait for the NFL season. It's going to be great.
Fact. What do you need to win a Super Bowl besides Tom Brady?
A quarterback.
What the disgusted look on Sam's face. Great.
Not necessarily. What are the two components that are always characteristic of a Super Bowl winner?
I know what you're going to say. Run game and a defense.
I was going to say linebackers and a running back.
Defense.
And I was going to say, I'm just going to mute your ass again. There we go. All right. There.
Can we Sorry. Leave him that way?
Yeah, seriously. Listen, hey, if Jalen Hurts improves, all right, and this team stays healthy, I would be disappointed if they didn't make it to the NFC Championship game. They should Slash win the division.
Slash? Slash, go ahead. Speak up.
That's what I don't like. It's like, yes, on paper, they have the talent that they could get to the NFC Championship game, but it's steps to get there. They put this talent together to see if you have the quarterback that is supposed to be at the helm. But stuff happens. And, no, to say, here, and to take that giant leap where you lose by 30 at Tampa Bay in the first round to say, I'd be disappointed if they don't make the NFC Championship game, is a giant step.
All right, here, fact, all right? What's your road to get to the NFC Championship game?
Tampa and L.A.
No,
teams
no,
with winning no. records.
You got to win. You got all right. You stay out of the wild card round if you can. All right, but if you're a 2 or a 3 seed, all right. Now I know that might be a bit of a stretch. All right, but if you only have to play, if you have to play 2 games at home, all right, I can see this path being paved. All right, I'm not saying they're going to be the number one seed and have a bye. Not going to happen. All right. But, man, you know, if you're a 3 seed or a 4 seed and you're playing, you know, the dog, I don't know. They have to win their home games. That's what they have to win, home playoff games. I think they can do this, man. I think they can do this. Okay, but they have to win. They have to win 2 playoff games.
Absolutely, because you got to go 13-4 if you're going to get that one seed. And I don't think any of us are going to go that far. I
mean, and it's 13-3 where you're sitting the last week of the season. So yeah.
13-4 is where you got to have that number one. Now, if you get into that 2 or 3, now if you're looking at if they get into that 2 and they're hosting a playoff game against the Rams at home. In the cold weather and getting them outside of L.A., you have a shot. But the road to the NFC title game, you have to beat 1 of 2. You got to go through Tampa or you got to go through L.A. And I know that makes you sick, Sam, saying that because Tommy's back. Now, if Brady would have stayed
back.
Yeah. If Brady would have stayed retired, okay, and you know, the Bucs took a back seat because Brady was gone and they had to start Blaine Gabbert instead or whatever scrub they would have brought in there, I would have a different tune. You know, I would be singing a different tune. But and Adam still left Rodgers in Green Bay. I just don't see it with those two teams. They've been there. They've done that. They've won the last 2 Super Bowls. They have quarterbacks that are better than ours. Definitely. And that's not a knock on Jalen Hurts saying that he's not better than Matthew Stafford or Tom Brady. It's just the reality of it. This team, yes, they have a lot more talent, but I haven't seen it mesh yet. It hasn't come together. It hasn't been coached up and played in a game together yet. We need to see it on the field. Remember, last year, they destroyed Atlanta, and everyone's like, oh, man, look at this team. And then they couldn't get out of their own way until they got to Detroit. And then even then, you're beating Detroit. Anybody could beat Detroit.
Yeah,
Alabama could beat Detroit.
Pittsburgh couldn't beat Detroit.
Unfortunately, it is asking a lot for them to just win their home games because you got to remember they went 3-5 at home last year. Like, what? How do you go 3-5 at home?
Going to get on my Twitter. Why does slash
hate the Eagles?
I'm just not drinking the NFC Championship or bust. Situation. I just want to see.
I'm not saying it's a bust.
Or disappointment. Or disappointment.
It's a disappointment. I think they have the tools. I think.
Looking for Jalen Hurts, get us that playoff win, and then after that, I'm like, let's go all in. After next year, let's go all in. You got no more excuses for Jalen Hurts. He's obviously improved if he wins a playoff game next year. And then the talent speaks for itself. So then it's all in after that.
You see, here's the deal. You shouldn't have to worry about him improving that much. He has to improve, obviously. And he's going to get better as a quarterback. There's no doubt that he has the mental fortitude to get better in the NFL. He's gone through a litany of crap in his college career. All right. What, Sam?
There's tons of doubt. What are you talking about? There's tons of doubt.
Tons of doubt regarding what?
Jalen Hurts, like, this is the year that we're going to decide if not whether he's good enough or not. Then I
he's going to get better.
I have 50% doubt on that. Okay, I hope he gets better. I want him to get better, but I'm not all in on him being better automatically. That's just because you spend time in the NFL doesn't mean you're automatically a better player.
He has the intangibles, Sam. He has the intangibles.
That's the problem. He doesn't have the intangibles. He doesn't have a strong arm, and he doesn't have the accuracy.
No, he has all the intangibles. He has all the leadership.
Sam, shouldn't you be cooking?
I'm gonna now. There's another one on my hit list.
When's the next flight to the Dominican?
I don't need it, buddy. I got a guy.
You got access.
Eagles can now claim Australia, Ghana as their markets. Green Legion Africa invasion.
What do you say, hey. Q?
I'm in.
I would totally do that.
100%.
Let's go to Khartoum or wherever in Ghana. Let's do it.
I'm in.
It's just a marketing ploy, and I was running out of things to write on the NFL list because it's the end of May, but I thought it was pretty funny. And,
I noticed because you put hold on. Back to Philadelphia, a little bullet there. So wait, I knew
why are we talking about this when all we want to hear is Quimby talk about Colin Kaepernick getting a tryout with the Raiders?
That's NFL. Here's this, though, guys. Just thought of this. The link opened in 2003. This is the 20th year. This is like the early 90s to the vet.
It's the 20th season.
20th season. That's what I meant. 19th year. 20th season. 20th season of Eagles football at the link. And, you know, for old heads, I mean, you know, like I have to lump myself in Quimby. It feels like it's still brand new. You know what I mean? And it's wild. Like they've done some upgrades to it.
I've always thought there has been nothing special about that stadium.
No, and they
said, you know what? You could have added a 20 or 30 million more in steel and done what the Seahawks did and put some overhangs in that upper level, and it would be the loudest stadium in the NFL, but they didn't do that. All right. I'm sorry. The club level, it's okay. The only thing good about the club level is if you get seats there in December. Outside of that,
the Philadelphia market, they don't have the money for that, Q.
Hey, there's plenty of money.
That note, I've been to every game that the Eagles have played in that stadium.
Sam, meatball sandwich now.
Less talky, more cookie.
Yeah. Yeah, we got some brownies coming up. I like my brownies with a scoop of vanilla, but...
So let's get back to some football. Top scouting department member Andy Weidel hired by the Steelers. This is a pretty substantial move within the Eagles organization. Losing Andy, he was one of the guys. I know someone who knows him well and has had a number of conversations. And he openly admitted that Howie would very rarely listen to anybody in the talent evaluation department. Right. And, you know, so you, and Andy was the one that from what I understand, really tried to corral him into taking into consideration that which you're paying people to do for a living and that which you have not been trained to do.
I'm surprised Pittsburgh even needed to hire anybody from scouting because they always seem to draft really well. So,
well, they needed a general manager, so that's the reason why they went out and got if he was the best guy available for sure. I'm not really that worried about it. Everybody was up in arms when Joe Douglas left, and we've seen what he's done with the Jets. And, you know, like you just got to hope that what Howie has potentially learned from him, that he takes that moving forward. And from what I can understand from the last two drafts is he finally realized, stop taking guys from the Pac-12. Stop taking all these, you know, these bums from these programs that you never even see unless you're up at 2 o'clock.
Baby.
Yes. Alabama, Georgia. It's not that hard. I think he finally figured that out.
I like it. So, we're going to jump out of the Eagles right now, but stay in the NFL because this is a topic we want to get to. How much time do we have, Slash?
About 3 minutes.
About 3 minutes. Let's get into it now. this is what is so hysterical to me. All right. First of all, Jason Friedman used to be in charge of the sales department and was the sales rep for your Green Legion invasion of FedEx Field every year. The whistle blow about the juice fund. All right. This is hysterical. First of all, let's just Daniel Snyder has always been regarded as kind of a douche. All right. A douche owner. He would take his high contract premier players on his private jet with him instead of have them flying with the team. You know, just really crappy moves as an owner, you know, that's responsible for so many people that have to perform for him. But then you get into the sexual misconduct allegations. Dennis Green, has to get out of Dodge. Then you have the cheerleader scandal. All right, the cheerleader scandal is hysterical, where
even Quimby would not do that. It's terrible.
No, he would give invitations to topless photo shoots to high-paying suite members, and these cheerleaders would actually have to go out on dates with these guys in the evening, go to clubs and pretend to be their dates. Ugh. So this, I mean, scumbag, just total scumbag. So here we go. All right. Sexual misconduct allegations, completely screwed up cheerleader scandal. But that's not enough. That's not enough for the owners in the NFL to say, all right, it's about time this guy gets out of Dodge or we remove this. It's $5 million. $5 million split among 31 other owners, which amounts to $156,000 each. Let me go.
I got you.
$156,000 each. Every one of these owners has a watch that expensive. All right. But the second you pulled $150,000 out of an owner's pocket, all of them, now the rumor mill starts flying, and many of them said, oh, yeah, if we find out this juice fund was true, we're voting him out. Sack.
I don't understand why they want to keep Daniel Snyder around when he has completely devalued that franchise, which is one of the more pristine franchises in the history of the NFL. If you look at it over the long haul, like he's completely that stadium is an absolute dump. It's completely falling apart. They can't fill it. No fans go there anymore. But we're pretty much the only idiots that go there anymore. And then on top of that, all these scandals that go on with this guy, I don't understand it. They've been through three name changes in the last 4 years, and the one that they settled on is horrible. Like, why are these guys, like, I know it's the old man's group.
You got to remember what 60 seconds looks like, brother.
I understand, but why are they holding on to this guy?
We're going to come back to that. All right, we'll come back to it. We'll let you keep ranting after break. You guys, Green Legion Radio here on Fox Sports Radio in Philadelphia. Joining us on your ride down to the shore. We're over the top of the hour now. Brought to you by MCS Residential, MCS Custom Cabinetry. For all your residential contracting needs, 484-202-3656. That's 484-202-3656. We'll be back right after this. Everybody, Green Legion Radio on Fox Sports Radio in Philadelphia, brought to you by our friends at MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry. For all your residential contracting needs, 484-202-3656. That's 484-202-3656. Don't forget about the rest of our sponsors, State Farm, local agent Dave Bavuso, Bud Light Seltzer, Michelob Ultra, Stateside Vodka and Stateside Bourbon, Diaz, Greater Philadelphia Health Action, Advantage Health Plus, Bucks County Baseball Company, which I think we got a read coming up here in a second, the Ludlam Barn Grill, and Premier Window Cleaning, WeHateDirtyWindows.com. Sack, go.
Bucks County Baseball Company is the premier vintage sports clothing and collectibles retail store in the tri-state area. Visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. Items from the Phillies, Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, and the Union, and much, much more. Again, visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. The showroom is huge. The website, even bigger. Bucks County Baseball Company, the name in Philly for vintage sports.
Diaz, you want to jump on Snyder?
Well, I mean, Sack was like, how do they keep him around? I think
is that a rhetorical question?
Super Sam, you want to jump on? No, I'm just kidding.
Sorry.
I thought we were done with it.
I know. It was there. I think the reason, like, why would they want to keep him around? And I don't necessarily think Jeffrey Lurie's there. Maybe that's home bias. All these owners got crap under their rug that they don't want to come out in public, too. We see Jerry Richardson was forced to sell a couple years back of the Panthers. It's not necessarily that they want Snyder to stay or don't want him to leave. It's that it opens that door where now there's like a precedent set of some of the things come out like this. We're going to vote you out, as opposed to having the commissioner say, hey man, you know, you got to go. So I think that it's not necessarily that they're trying to protect Snyder. They're trying to protect themselves instead of voting them out. Sam.
But none of that stuff, other stuff, best with their money.
Oh, yeah. That's why it's funny.
Right.
Yeah.
Once you lose all their money, reputation. That's a different ballgame.
Yeah.
I also think the fear might be that he knows a lot about them, too. And if he winds up getting voted out, what does he have on the Jerry Joneses and the Jeffrey Lurie's and the Spanos and all that stuff? Like, what can he divulge about them and try and, you know, next thing you know, you've got everything going on.
I guarantee he's not the only owner in the league that's hiding some funds.
Oh, wait. So you guys mean to tell me a multi-billion-dollar company plays politics? I don't buy it. Not for a second.
Perfect. Yeah. No, I think he's going to be out. Now, I think this is also why he named his wife the owner, which is hysterical.
Well, he was forced out.
The owner.
He's forced out. He's supposed to be on suspension anyway for like 12 months or something. He's not supposed to run the team.
She's a figurehead. She's a figurehead. He's still pushing all the buttons.
Giggity.
Get some baseball here, Sack.
No, let's do this. NFL discussing ways of improving the Pro Bowl, including eliminating the game altogether.
Well, solved the issue.
You just solved the issue
with the second half of that sentence.
Okay, here we go. All right. Question for the entire panel, Sack/Sam Diaz, in this order. Not getting rid of the Pro Bowl. How do you improve it?
How do you improve it? You got to require that the players that are voted into the game actually go to the game, unless you have an injury concern. Like, it's ridiculous that these guys can sit there. Like, every year, the players that are voted in, the best players are voted in, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, but they don't go. You wind up having guys like Mitchell Trubisky that wind up going. That does not improve the game. But the thing is people still watch it. They still go to it. They still watch it on TV. Like, I don't understand it for the life of me. I don't watch it at all. But you have to, in order to improve it, unless you're going to make it like a mid-season game, like they do in baseball and the other sports, that's the only way it'll work.
So they don't watch it. They gamble on it. It's the only game on.
Wise.
I mean, because it's
flashes up.
Thanks, Diaz. No, I was going to say, speaking of multi-billion-dollar company, first of all, why don't they put it back in Hawaii? That was a little bit more exhilarating. Secondly, the Pro Bowl game itself, like, can't the AFC or NFC, like, winners, like, can't each player from that team, like, have an incentive where, like, if their team wins, they can donate a certain amount of money to the charity of their choice or the charity in their name? At least have some purpose for the game so that, you know, off the hike, like, you're just standing there with your arms crossed. It's pathetic of a product.
Sam.
The individual competitions that they do are more fun to watch than the actual game, of course. I actually tune into that because I think that's the coolest part of it. So I don't know, try to highlight those things or make those players that won those competitions have better playing time spots. I'm not sure. But yes, Hawaii, number one, definitely.
But yeah, give the incentive, a reason to compete.
Diaz.
I think I just eliminate the game. These guys have played now 17 weeks minimally, depending on injuries.
How did you say that?
17 weeks Minimally.
You also misinterpreted the question. So.
We're talking about not eliminating the game.
I know, but I understand that. But the game, they shouldn't care. I don't want Eagles. Listen, you want to make the games better with Cincinnati Bengals and Houston Texans? I don't want the Eagles playing in the game. I think it's, I understand, without eliminating the game, but if that's the case, then just do like Philly Sport and Social used to do. Just play some two-hand touch. Two blockers or three
that's
blockers, and just play two-hand touch. I mean, it'd be more fun. You'd see them all fooling around and stuff, and they don't have to wear their helmets, have a little bit of personality.
Actually, I think the only way they can improve it is actually answering the way I told you guys to not get rid of the game entirely, but you improve and jump on a bunch of fan experiences with these players. You wait till the season's over so nobody has to worry about injury. You do it in late February. By the way, how many of you have been to Honolulu?
Never.
All right. I've been there 6 times and it's dog ass. All right, it's Los Angeles, even further west and harder to get to. Fact of the matter is, no. I think it should stay in Miami or be in Miami because it's easier.
It's in Orlando, I thought.
It was in Miami.
Orlando is awful. All right, the happiest place on earth costs $120 a day to go to. So I don't want to talk about that. But Miami's got your best weather. You've got the VIP status around Miami. Tom Brady throwing passes to fans. All right. You throwing a pass to AJ Brown and jumping on these, you know, dinners, all kinds of engaging activities where they can sell the big ticket items and sell the big sponsors. But look, here's the deal. You go to the Pro Bowl because you want to see these players, but you don't see them playing at the level to which you voted them in. So what's the best alternative? Doing a shot at Jameson with Nick Foles.
You know, what I don't get here is, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not sure if my headset's working here. Diaz said that it's an all-star game and it doesn't matter. Coming from a guy that wanted to rip Bryce Harper for 3 years because he didn't make an all-star game, but he actually won an MVP award that Joel Embiid still hasn't won, and he wanted to sit there and puff up Ben Simmons because he was a 3-time All-Star. That's always a part of his arguments.
No, it's not.
The All-Star matters, Diaz. If you're a Pro Bowler, it matters. It goes same resume.
You know, what I want is I want the top-level talent. Usually, All-Star teams are made up of top-level talent. Now, listen, I don't care if Bryce Harper makes one. What I like Bryce Harper to do is not go 0-for-11 with 5 strikeouts in a series where they only need one game to make the playoffs. Bryce Harper has still never won a playoff series. I don't care if he makes any All-Star games. He's not a clutch primetime performer once it gets later than August. I mean, it's just proven. I don't even care about the freaking All-Star games. And you know what, Sack? All you do is say, I don't care. I want winners. Well, you know what? But Bryce Harper has proven there is no statistical evidence that he's a winner. He has never won anything. MVP awards, you shouldn't even care about
MVP
that.
MVP awards, which is all Embiid cares
that's
about.
That's not winner. That's not winning.
Embiid is like, I'm sick of the first round of the playoffs. I'm sick of the second round. I want to get to the conference finals. Bryce Harper's like, hey, can you guys spend $500 million so maybe we can make the playoffs one year? I mean, it's been 13 years, but can we make the playoffs? Sack is holding on here to a 400-level team that maybe they might make the playoffs with the seventh one.
All right, there we go. Go ahead.
So Embiid wants to be in the conference finals, yet he misses game 1 and 2 of a playoff series this year because obviously he got hurt again. And the 1 year in the second round against Toronto, he called out to Brett Brown at 6 o'clock in the morning because his tummy hurt and he was sneezing and coughing. That guy is a wimp. He's a loser. Loser with a capital L.
So
and he's going to be playing in Miami.
He got his jersey
2 years.
Florida.
2 years, Diaz. 2 years.
All right, wow. Now both of you are on. All right, so the / Sam and Quimby show How's everybody doing this evening?
What up? What up?
I can start. I can start off this topic for Phillies if you want. Speaking of
Bryce Harper. Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. So Zach can hop in here afterwards, but I'm just going to start out this team. And I was talking to Zach before the show. You can't get too mad at them, too happy for what they're doing, because it's the same product on the field they've had the last couple years. They'll hit the hell out of the ball like they did out west and then come home and slump. And it's the same thing where they're hitting, but their pitching's not there. Or, yeah, they're pitching the lights out, but their bats went silent. It's the same thing. They can never put it together no matter what the lineup is, and it drives me nuts, Zach.
So this week has kind of been throwing me over the edge, okay, because – you look at Sunday, you were gifted a win. You stole that game, and then you wound up having a big win in Atlanta to kick off a four-game series in Atlanta. Huge road trip, through four through Atlanta, three through New York. You have to go 5-2 on this trip, okay? So Monday night, you get that win. Tuesday night, okay, your MVP, your actual MVP, puts you ahead in the ninth inning. And you come out and you trot out the dog crap in the ninth inning with a one-run lead to try and hold it. You try and hold that lead with that dog crap. Your three best relievers are unavailable in the ninth inning. So Anthony Dominguez didn't pitch on Monday. Knable, your closer, pitched on Monday, threw nine pitches in a four-run non-save. They're not high-leverage pitches. Why is he throwing in that game? You save him for that game, that spot on Tuesday night, and he begged and pleaded with Girardi that I need
Zach,
to
get your hands
this
up your table.
They're not on my table. To me, that game on Tuesday night, you played with house money. You came back. You were going to win that game. You needed to find a way. It guarantees a split in Atlanta. Then that way. Wednesday and Thursday, you're playing with house money. You either win 3-4, you sweep the series. At worst case, you split it in Atlanta. And then now you're trying to salvage a game on Thursday night. It's beyond frustrating. That game on Tuesday night, Girardi lost me. I supported that guy as much as I possibly could. He lost me that night. And we're going to see how it works out the rest of this trip, because obviously we're broadcasting, we're recording on Thursday night, so I don't know the outcomes of Thursday and Friday. But that right there is beyond frustrating. It puts them on the hot seat. They come out of this trip 1-6, 2-5. I'm firing them next week.
Just 1-3 against the Braves in Atlanta with a team that was inferior against you is enough for me. I don't care how the rest of the
mental miscues. Diaz, I'll get to you. But mental miscues that this team has had. The ball in center field between Roman Quinn and Castellanos, that should not happen. JT Realmuto Wednesday
Quinn
night.
Should be not happening. Quinn experience is over. Been over for three years.
JT throwing the ball past Segura, past Bryson Stott, through Odubel Herrera. How does that happen? The bad news don't look that bad.
That's about when my Twitter started blowing up the other night from Sack. They just got to fire Girardi, or we're going to find Sack hanging from his Florida Panthers Drew jersey from the Ben Franklin Bridge.
It's a true story.
I mean, we got to get that.
It's going to happen. You're not lying.
Slash, how much time do we got?
We can wrap it up now.
You think? Actually, real quick. I know we're talking baseball. There was something I wanted to see here. NFL takes $7.5 million from every team to settle the Rams lawsuit from St. Louis. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I don't even think that's enough. I mean, the Rams were supposed to do all whatever. Shorten it up. The Rams are supposed to do all due diligence to stay within the city limits. They had some sort of charter, some sort of agreement or contract. And obviously they're like, Stan Kroenke's like, I'm going to LA. Whatever the lawsuit is, it's one of those lost leaders where, listen, I'll go to LA. I'll build my own stadium. I've got the land there. I'll build my own stadium. I'll make $1 billion a year and they can sue me and, whatever. So the reason that the NFL, all the teams had to do that is because obviously St. Louis, sued the NFL. Each team is a part of the NFL. So they all had to share in that, that settlement with the city of St. Louis.
All right, let's do this. We're going to take one more break here. And when we come back, We are talking Star Wars, baby.
All right, I'll talk to you guys next week.
Dun, 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 dun.
All right, hold on. Since he won't stop himself, I'm going to mute him now.
That's enough Star Wars.
Green Legion Radio on Fox Sports Radio, The Gambler in Philadelphia, brought to you by our friends at MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry. Join alongside Sackmaster / Sam and Diaz's Forehead. You guys, we'll be back right after this. All right, everybody. Green Legion Radio here on Fox Sports Gambling in Philadelphia, brought to you by our friends at MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry. For all your residential contracting needs, 484-202-3656, or visit them on the web, mcsinc-pa.com. You guys, we're all Star Wars now. We are all Star Wars because Star Wars debuted Memorial Day weekend 45 years ago. That's crazy. That is crazy.
It's Diaz's age. That's right. I was born 2 days after.
I'm still the old head here, though. So Obi-Wan Kenobi, first two episodes on Disney Plus this weekend. Are you looking forward to it, Diaz?
Absolutely. I can't wait. You know, I'm jumping on the lead sheet again, but I didn't even realize this. I was, you know, previews and catch up to where they are. Ewan McGregor hasn't put on the robes in 17 years. Revenge of the Sith was 2005, 17 years ago that was on. So it's pretty quick. I think it's only six episodes, and it's just supposed to be, I think it's 10 years after Revenge of the Sith and 10 years before A New Hope. So it's just, it's a self-contained mini story within that time period. I think it's, listen, as long as it's more Mandalorian than Book of Boba Fett, I think we're in good hands. I can't wait. It's going to be great.
Sackmaster.
Yeah, anything that Ewan McGregor tends to do is really good. I loved him in the prequels. He was fantastic. I love to see how he aged throughout those three movies. Hayden Christensen was not a big fan of his, in particular, in Attack of the Clones, but you know, I thought he rounded out pretty good in Revenge of the Sith, and what his role was in Attack of the Clones, he was supposed to be a whiny bitch. I mean, that was the role that he was supposed to play. He was over excessive in that role, but you know, the sad part is we're not going to get any Padme during the course of this. But I will be watching because I haven't really followed a lot
annoying.
Of this.
Annoying.
Yeah, but she's hot. You know, Natalie Portman, love her. But yeah, I'll watch this stuff. I really haven't gotten into much of the Disney end of things, you know, outside of the newer three movies, the trilogy, and I tried watching Rogue One, couldn't do it.
Oh, Rogue One is so good.
Okay, so first of all, Sack, way to get off topic and blow three of our 10 available minutes here, because we were still talking about Obi-Wan, and I wanted to give Super Sam an opportunity to talk about that. So
I'm so excited. I am so excited.
They don't call her the best color analyst in the league for nothing.
I'll wait.
We're still waiting for those brownies and ice cream there, Sam, so get on that.
On a scale of Rex or Leonardo, how excited are we?
All right. You guys are going to both get muted for the rest of the show.
All I was going to say was,
I got to be, go ahead.
I think he's going to do a fantastic job of tying up a couple holes that we've all been looking at over the past 20
years. 45
years. No, shut up, dude. You're wrong on this one. You're just wrong.
I was waiting for Diaz to say something about the whole comment, so I muted him already.
Let me ask you this, Slash. I mean, you're such a hater here. I wanted to know what your opinion was, because the, you know, Phantom Menace came out in 99 when you were like three. But you're a hater. Like, are you into like Harry Potter or something like that?
No, I don't like, I hate
or the
Harry
Hunger
Potter
Games or something like that. No. You know,
Star
I know.
Wars is
Diaz,
just like,
you might want to ask the question and let him respond.
Yeah. So. First of all, I watched one Harry Potter movie and fell asleep. But we're not here for Harry Potter. Star Wars, it's like three movies / shows per year, and it's like the same hype for, like, how do you guys like keep up with all this? It's insane. Takes over everything. Revenge of the Sith wasn't as good as, you know, Star Wars 1948. But 1948 sequel wasn't as good as the 72 reboot of the 34 season. I'm like, how do you even do this?
I will tell you what your problem is. You don't drink heavily enough. Because you can blow through an entire season the next day after a bender the night before and get it all done in one day. That's how you keep up. You don't go week to week. You get really hungover, order a pizza, and watch all those damn episodes at the same time or in a row. Get it out of the way. I did that with Reacher, which, by the way, awesome. If you haven't
heard,
watched
that was
Reacher
really good.
On Amazon Prime, awesome. It's actually the Reacher that it was supposed to be, not, you know, half a
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, right.
And I hate Tom Cruise. While we're on hating, I hate Tom Cruise.
But Maverick's getting some substantial reviews. It's supposed to be pretty awesome. So we'll see. Zach, Rogue One? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, it didn't do it for me.
It was so good.
I just couldn't. The characters, none of them were relatable. I just
We're talking about some galaxy.
Yeah, exactly. But you could relate. You could relate to like Han Solo or you know Luke Skywalker. Like there was characters. There was characters. Yeah, right.
This isn't Goodfellas.
I've never seen that one either. But no, there were none of the characters really like you kind of get attached to characters throughout the course of Star Wars. I just didn't in that movie. It didn't
oh
do
man,
it.
I would say
me and Rach both fell asleep during it.
I would say Rogue One
not a good
is
sleep.
Besides the originals and maybe Revenge of the Sith. Rogue One's a top five Star Wars movie. I mean, easy, no problem.
I don't even
no
want to say it, but I agree with you.
Yeah. Well, that leads in like later on here in July, they're coming out with Cassian Andor, who was the pilot smuggler. What is he in Rogue One? But it's kind of a leading up to the events. Yeah, right. Spy. I guess that's the thing. That dude was awesome in that movie, man. I can't wait to see how that goes. And I hope this one, Obi-Wan, don't really care. I mean, keep it in the same, I guess, the Skywalker range. But Rogue One was, I mean, when they made Rogue One, I can't believe we're talking about Rogue One, but the creators watched old, like, Vietnam movies to get that feel of, like, war. It's like a more true, like, war movie where people die and get shot. It's not like the stormtroopers are super accurate, as Obi-Wan says in A New Hope, but they never hit anything. You know, this is one where people blow up and get shot and stuff like that. So I hope that Andor is a little more PG-13 than it is, Star Wars: A New Hope.
One last thing, and then I swear I'm done. We talk about Citizens Bank Park, where it's a violation for grown men to bring their gloves to the ballpark, but all of a sudden, May the 4th be with you comes.
So everybody slash and hey, real quick, because we don't have a whole lot of time.
No,
I liked one question that you had, Diaz, and I'm going to answer it first. What character would you like to see a show built about? I want to know how Palpatine got to be Palpatine.
That's a good one.
And that could be loaded with some really dark stuff, man. Like, you could... So Star Wars is a bit Bebop, all right? And the first... I'm going to get off on a quick tangent here, but I'll pull back around in 2 seconds. The Curse of the Black Pearl, Pirates of the Caribbean, the first movie... All right, that was Bebop-y. All right. Dead Man's Chest was pretty dark right after that. And that's my favorite one of the series because it went so dark. And I think they have that ability with a Palpatine series. How did this guy, what happened in this guy's life? How did he learn about this? How did he evolve? What brought him to that level, Zach?
I really like that one, but for me, my favorite character from the prequels was Mace Windu. Just such a badass character. I would love anything that Samuel L. Jackson does is awesome, and I would love to dig more into his story. I want to know, did he die? Did he die when he went out that window? Remember, he's a Jedi. I mean, he could have went in isolation just like Yoda and Obi-Wan did all those years. Like, I want to know what the end game was for him. Was that actually it? And I want to see the body. If he got whacked, that's it.
Diaz, what do you got?
I would like to say the situation would be the Mos Eisley Cantina. Now, I don't know if it would be some, like, grimy...
Like Cheers?
Or Cheers, I was going to say. It could be Cheers. It could be some like that comedy. But I don't think it would be like that. But it would be cool to, like, see, you know, I don't know how it would be made, but just that whole scene with the guys playing you know, see the band in there, get expand on those characters in there. Maybe each episode you take like Snaggletooth that way, and then Walrus Man, the story about him, some of the droids in the building, Greedo. I mean, you could have a whole series on Greedo.
You get to find out what the number is for AA on Tatooine.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't think Tatooine has any AA right there. Isn't it kind of funny how Tatooine is supposed to be this barren, out-of-reach planet?
Isn't it kind of funny that Diaz never looks at the clock, especially when Slash tells him to wrap up? You will not be hearing from him the rest of this show.
Tune in to Diaz's thoughts after
Green
that.
Legion Radio on Fox Sports Radio in Philadelphia. We appreciate you putting up with Diaz and his forehead for this entire show. Super Sam / Sackmaster, I'm Quimby. Remember, we are brought to you by MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry. Stay tuned tomorrow at noon for Baseball Brunch. Glad to have Greg Murphy back and feeling 11. Much better. Like I said, Baseball Brunch from 11 to noon. Sorry, that was a Diaz. Anyway, you guys, we appreciate you tuning in. Hope you had fun. Enjoy your holiday weekend.
Union tonight.
And the Union tonight. Check you guys later.